with the voice of triumph. Come on, let's bless God right there. Come on, if you're ready for overflow. Come on, let's bless him now. Come on, let's get on the aggressive. And let's let the devil know, eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard. God's doing a new thing. Come on, let's bless him now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Overflow. Overflow. In Jesus' name. Yeah. You can be seated. The child of God is assertive. We are aggressive. Our feelings don't tell us how we live. We live by faith and not by sight. Mel, I'm going to let you drive back there. Can you pull up my first slide here? I'm in my sermon series called In My Feelings. Yeah. And today is shaking my head. Anybody had them just put your hand in your head in your face moments? Yeah. I'm going to tell you how, what to do when you're in those moments, because they're going to come. Yes, sir. And I want to tell you something before I get started. Don't you feel bad for how you feel? All right. Some of you are convicted because you feel a certain, I can't believe I feel this way. Feelings are going to come. What you do with those feelings is your choice. When our feelings control us, our feelings become dictators instead of indicators. God gave you emotions to let you know where you are, not to tell you where to go and what to do. When you are in your feelings without a sense of purpose and the leading of the Holy Spirit, you get it wrong every single time. How many know I'm telling the truth in here? The feeling I want to deal with today is called false hope and disappointment. I'm going to tell you a story about how I dealt with it. False hope and disappointment are real. They were up there singing their heart out. I'm getting ready for overflow. And some of you probably in the middle of singing it, you got excited and you thought, I said it last year. I'm ready for overflow. All the people sitting here ready for overflow, they know what they got at home. Anybody Satan ever attack you with doubt? And you want to get excited, but then something pulls you back and tells you not to get excited. Because I got excited last time and it didn't happen. You all right? Am I talking to anybody in here? Yes, I want to tell you how to deal with false hope and disappointment, because they lead to shame. And many people start out, this is a new year. We start out with all kind of resolutions. We start out with all kind of goals. However, many of our goals are based on false hope. Or many people have just lost hope. I mean, whatever happens, happens. But the child of God does not have to live that way. There are some things that God has put in my heart to get in faith for. And I'm going to be very honest with you guys. I hesitated on really stepping out on some things that God told me to do because of prior experiences that had nothing to do with God but had everything to do with myself. A lot of it stems from, I'll give you one experience. My first year of graduate school, I've shared this with some of you guys, maybe you heard it. My first year of graduate school, in order to stay in graduate school, you had to have a 3.0. I had a B, C, and a D. And if you know anything about, that's the first D I ever made in my life. And if you know anything about averaging scores there, that was not a 3.0. And in order to keep my scholarship, I had to have a 3.0. So that semester was over with. I don't know if maybe mom and daddy saw the grades. I don't know if they did or not. But I showed up to school because I hadn't got a letter yet. But I knew they were going to cancel my scholarship if I didn't have a 3.0. I got in the financial aid line in faith, speaking in tongues. I'm believing God. By the time I get up here, everything going to be all right. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Everything going to be all right, God. It's going to be all right. I'm in time. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. It's going to be all right. It's in Jesus' name. I was in faith. I was believing God that Sunday before that. I was in faith. I got in line, and I got to the front, and they said, what is your name? And I got it together, and I said, Jason Scales. They said, you owe XYZ. How will you be paying? I said, where's my scholarship? They said, sir, there's no scholarship here. They said, do you have a student loan? I said, no, ma'am. They said, you can go up the hill and you can apply up there. It was the longest walk. If you ever been to UTC, there's a hill called Cardiac Hill. That was the longest walk from McClellan Gym up Cardiac Hill to financial aid. And I was so disappointed because I was in faith. I spoke in tongues on this. But I had to get a student loan because it didn't come through. And perhaps you're there in this moment. You believe God for some things, and they didn't come through. I went up to financial aid, and I only had to meet with financial aid. I had to meet with my advisor. And my advisor looked at my grades and said, are you sure grad school is for you? Oh, no, ma'am, I just had a bad semester. She said, can I be honest with you? Do you know how many times I have heard that?
I said, but I'm different. Now, everybody says they're different. Everybody had a bad semester. And she said, are you sure? I said, ma'am, I promise you, I am sure. By the next time I see you, I'm going to be all right. She said, you do know that you have to pull like a 4.0 off a couple of semesters, and you got to do this to pull your GPA up and all that stuff like that. I said, ma'am, I got you. She walked out that room shaking her head. End of those three semesters, I pulled it off, and I got my GPA back up. And I said, I'm going to get in faith because I'm going to get my scholarship back. Yes. And I'll pick it up at the end of the story, at the end of my sermon, and tell you how I got it back. Let's go to Romans chapter 5. Pull it up for me, Mel. Romans chapter 5, King James Version. Romans chapter 5 is where I'm going to be reading from. It says, therefore, being justified by faith. Anybody justified in here? You know what justified means? It means God treats you just as if you've never done a thing. God doesn't have a memory of your wrong when he deals with you. He said, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is on the inside of us. Yeah. Let me get you started here first. Grace is this. It says we have access by faith into this grace. Can I explain to you grace this way in this scripture? Grace is God's part of the deal. It's God opening up the door and giving you access to whatever it is, his stuff that you need in your life. If I ask somebody in here, if I said, Trent sitting in the back, I said, Trent, can you go in my office and get XYZ? Do you know what? Trent could not do it because he doesn't have the key unless I give it to him to get in. There are certain things in your life that God is trying to give you the key to, that he has justified you first so you don't feel any guilt. You can have access by faith. Grace is God's part. It gives you access. Faith is your part. Faith is where you go take what God has made available by grace. Let me tell you what hope is. Hope is the expectation of a thing I'm in faith for. Once I go in, because faith is not visible first. Whatever God gives you, it first starts in your heart, in your spirit, and you proclaim it out of your mouth. You don't see it yet. But I stand in faith, and that's why I have hope, because I know I've received something by faith. That's why some of you believe in God for healing, and your body may still have pain in it, but you're not governed by your pain. You are governed by faith that by his stripes I am healed. You all right in here? So that's what grace, faith, and hope do. Let me explain to you, if you go to my next slide, the hope process. The hope process is this. It starts with tribulation. You saw it in the scripture. It goes to patience. Patience works experience. Experience produces hope. And hope doesn't make you ashamed. Can I walk you through that process? Go to my next slide here. Let's start with tribulation. Here's the reality. I'll be honest with you. I genuinely support anybody who says they have a dream or who says they have some type of goal or something they're in faith for, even if I don't think it's realistic or it doesn't make sense to me, because I don't know everything and I'm not God. So if it's anything, if it's as long as it's not sin and you say, hey, this is what I'm believing God for, hey, I'm going to support you. Do you know why? Because here's the reality. Life has a built-in reality check called pressure. And if you don't know how to handle pressure, pressure will weed out those who have no hope. So, hey, you can say, I'm believing God for it. I'm right there with you. I'm in faith for it. Here's the thing. My opinion does not matter. Because once you get into what you said God called you to do, pressure is going to kick in. And pressure will decide whether or not you're really in hope or not. Not my opinion, not no haters, not nobody else. It's once you get past your haters, once you get past everybody's opinion, can you cut it?
Yes.
I want to start a business. I don't care if nobody in your family's ever started one. I don't care what the naysayers say. When you do it, pressure is going to tell you. Whether you're going to find out what they say if fat meat is really greasy. You know what I'm talking about in here? Pressure has its life has its own reality text. In our text here today, Paul said the first thing that we encounter in the hope process is this, tribulation. Do you know what tribulation is? Pressure. It's stress. And pressure causes stress. I didn't like pressure for years. And matter of fact, every time I face pressure, I have to make a decision that I'm going to face it head on. This is to be honest. And I'm going to do my best regardless of how I feel. If I feel fear, intimidated, angry, or whatever else, I'm going to execute the game plan. Can I tell you what pressure does? Pressure produces stress. I heard this guy say this yesterday at this conference that I was at, and it stuck with me. He said, stress is the breeding ground for disease and drama if you don't handle it correctly. Many of you are sick right now because of stress. Stress messes with your immune system. It just gets you off. And stress is also the breeding ground for drama. Stress will get you out of character. Stress will have you snapping at everybody. Stress will shut you down. You have to learn how to deal with pressure and stress. How do I deal with this pressure? Paul gave you two things. He said this. The first thing is this. He said, we glory in tribulation. He said, we welcome it. You got to eat pressure for lunch. You got to wake up. Instead of running from it, you run to it. Some of you have meetings tomorrow. Some of you have pressure at home, and you're dreading it. And you're trying to have spirituality as an anesthetic so you don't have to deal with your pain and your pressure. But I want you to pull from this moment. I want you to take this power from this moment, and I want you to be the first thing to show up Monday morning to work. I want you to walk in home today and say, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I'm not going to be governed by pressure. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you got to eat pressure for lunch. You are a child of God, right? You are a king's kid, right? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, right? If we say all these things, we got to be ready to deal with pressure. The next thing he said, we glory in tribulation. And then this is the thing he said about tribulation. He didn't say it about any of the other things. He said about this. He said, we know that tribulation works patience. You got to know, not feel pressure. Many of us are in our situation and you're feeling through your situation instead of knowing what God wants to do. You got to know what the enemy is after. For married couples in here, you find yourself arguing over stupid stuff. Just dumb stuff. He don't care about that cup. He don't care about socks on the floor. It's not really even an electric bill. He's after your marriage. So you walk into work and there's an email sitting there waiting on you. It ain't about that email. He wants you to quit so that you don't make an impact on that job. You got to be smart and know what the enemy is after. And once you have that, aha, I see what you're after. I see what you want, and I will not give you the justification of me getting in my feelings and getting off my game. Pressure will not get the best of me because I know, not feel, it's working for my good. In pressure moments, you got to decide, are you going to consult your spirit? Or you're going to consult your feelings. Your feelings says, smack them. I said that they had this Bernie Mac video just years ago. He walked down the road and smacked everybody he saw. And that day, you just want to play that and vicariously live your life through that. Your spirit, your flesh says, cuss them out. Your flesh says, shut down. They don't deserve you. But your spirit says, I'm here on purpose. Your spirit says, I'm greater than what I'm feeling right now. And I'm going to let this work for my good. Because you got to decide to eat pressure for lunch and deal with the pressure. Somebody say pressure. So make this confession. Say, I can and I will deal with pressure in my life. Say this. I will not spend another day stressed out in Jesus' name. Is that for anybody in here? Let's give God praise right there. You losing weight, you got headaches, your hair falling out, and folks look at you, girl, you look good. That's stress. No, not another day. The next thing in this, next slide is this. It says, tribulations or pressure works patience. Patience is this. It's endurance and perseverance so that you can focus. When you are hoping for something by faith, pressure produces patience, and this is not natural. Patience is a resolve that is built in you that so you can go through without quitting or letting stress ruin your life. And I think that's the biggest thing that many of us need to learn is how to go through. Yeah. You don't have to go through crying and complaining. You can go through in faith. Let me give you this. It's on the screen here. Patience is this. It's having the perseverance to grab a hold of yourself, to de-escalate your emotions, and focus on what you know. Right. When you are under pressure, there are times you can't do it in front of people. But you need to grab yourself by the collar and say, Jason Scales, you will get this thing together. You are not going to act like this. This is not who you are. I know you are under stress, but God has given you a promise, and you're not going to cut a fool. You're not going to shut down. You're not going to run. You are going to deal with this pressure. That's what patience is. And all of us have to have the ability to de-escalate ourselves in the situation, to get our bearings, to figure out what do I need to do. Because watch this, bad days are going to happen. As much as I'm preaching on faith right now, you liable to go home and your heater be out. You liable to go outside and something be wrong with your car. Stuff is just going to happen. You all right? That's the best way I can put it. But just because it happens doesn't mean it has to ruin your day. Remember, many people feel during pressure instead of knowing. Yes, I have emotions, but you're not going to ruin my day. And watch this. I'm not going to project my emotions on the situation. Some people say, this is crazy. This is messed up. Stop before you say that and say, maybe I'm crazy. Maybe I'm messed up. Or if things are crazy and if things are messed up, that's why you're there. You are the solution to every problem in the earth. So the solution cannot get messed up with the problem. You are the answer. And you show up and say, you know what? This ain't right. I got to get this thing fixed. But I cannot fix it being in my feelings. I can only fix it being in the mind of God so I can deal with this situation. You ever notice this? If you get in your emotions, you can go off. You can just do whatever you want, but it don't fix the situation. What God wants is resolve in the situation, and patience lets you fix it. I have to focus on what needs to be done and not let my feelings get the best of me. Because the easiest thing to do is to get frustrated and let my emotions run me. But patience says, hope will not allow me to be made ashamed, and my expectation will not be cut off. That's Proverbs 23 and 18. I live by that. I don't care what's going on in life. I tell myself, my expectation will not be cut off. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Go to the next slide for me. Tribulations worketh patience, and patience worketh experience. You know what experience is? It's proven character. Experience is the most potent part of your belief system. You cannot go away with what a person believes. And a person with an argument is never at the mercy of a person with experience. When you have experienced something, you know it, and nobody can convince you otherwise. Do you know what I hope for every person who walks in this building? I hope you have an undeniable experience with God. I think I preach a decent message. I think we have a great praise and worship team. But I want all of these to get you to a point where you say, I know God without a shadow of a doubt, because you can't take the praise and worship team home. I would love for that organ to travel with me everywhere I go, and I would preach right there in the middle of wherever I'm at, but it don't work like that. I can't act like that. I got to think in the situation. But when I have an undeniable experience with God, I know he'll show up every time. Let me tell you a couple things what experience is. Experience is a teacher. Most of you in here are experiential learners. You don't learn from somebody telling you. People have told you things your whole life, but you had to experience it for yourself before you figured it out. How many know I'm telling the truth in here? People have told you don't touch that, don't go there, don't try that, don't do that, but you were big and bad enough to do whatever you want. And many of us, let me be honest and say, how many of y'all learned the hard way some stuff? Yeah, I did. I learned the hard way. No, you ain't me. I'm special. And I learned the hard way. And God knows this about us, so he gives us experience. Here's the thing about this. I used to be so bored with church. I used to be so bored with just coming and this preacher preaching. And I knew growing up when our pastor was doing, because the organ would go and he'd get the hoop. And I said, well, it's about time to get out of here. And I knew it was about that time. Church made no sense to me until I got responsibility, until experience started to kick in. And I had to start paying bills, and I had to start dealing with people, and I had a job, and all the pressure that my parents were carrying, I started to carry myself. Church made a whole lot of sense right then. Preacher, say a word, sir. I was a quiet one in the building until life hit me. Well, experience is a teacher. You know what else experience does? Experience gives you empathy. I had an interesting experience. Do you guys remember, I think it was maybe a couple years ago when it was the country's in an uproar over the police shootings, and people were separated from this side to the other. There was a white pastor in the city who was very outspoken about, in his service, he talked about it. He said, you know what, I want to apologize to African Americans. He was talking about all the things that were racism and all the stuff that was going on. And it struck me odd, and I sent him a note, and I said, hey, man, I want to go to lunch with you. And I went to lunch with him. I said, I'll be honest. I said, church is split. People are split. People are taking offense to certain things, and it's split this way and that way when it comes to police and when it comes to African-American lives and stuff like that. I said, why were you outspoken like that? He pulls out his phone, and he shows me a picture. And in that picture, he has three children. Two of them are young Caucasian boys, and his oldest son is an African-American boy. He said, because the first time in my life, I saw myself in that situation, and I had empathy because I have an African-American son. I'm not saying this to divide you because many of you are on different sides of the thing. What I'm saying is this. When you have empathy in a situation, you see things completely different than when you have never experienced certain things. When you've never experienced, it's easy to place judgment and say, I'd never do that. I'm not even going to ask you to lift your hands, but many of you have had some, I'd never said I would never be in this situation moments. And once you've been in it, shame and pride get the best of you, and God's grace humbles you. There was some stuff that you said, I thought I would never be in this situation. I thought I would never go through that. I wasn't raised like this. This was not a product of what I'm involved with, but I made some dumb decisions, and now I found myself in situations. That's why for me, I can't speak for everybody else, I have grace with people. I can look in people's eyes and tell when, there's something going on. And instead of me judging, I'm going to walk right through with you. And I'm going to say, this is not the end of you. Greater is in you than he. Am I all right in here? Experience gives you empathy because you think, what if I was in that situation? And you don't think along color lines. You think along love lines. What, y'all right in here? Experience also gives you this. It also qualifies you. It gives you a chance to apply what you know. Experience is proven principles versus just theories and revelation. When I graduated from school, I had 2 degrees and nobody would hire me. You know why? Because I had no experience. And what they wanted to know is, I don't care how long you've been to school, that will get you in the door, but I want to know, what can you produce? Experience qualifies you because it gives you the opportunity to produce. Another thing is this. Experience makes things make sense. Has anybody ever went through something and all of it made sense after the fact? It didn't do you no good. In the fact. Now, that's why I shouldn't have done that. That's why I shouldn't have bought that. That's why I shouldn't have went there. That's why they were telling me not that. Here's the thing. Experience teaches you. It may not help you in that moment, but it's going to help you for a future moment. And there are some things that God lets you fail just so you can see what he's saying and you can apply them in future moments. The last thing is this. Experience humbles you. Sometimes, I said it before, God lets you fail so he can get your attention so that the arrogant part of you is humbled. I will be honest and say I have been very arrogant in situations. I've been arrogant towards my wife. I've been arrogant towards my parents. I think me and my dad probably, really, we may have been in one argument. We were riding down the road, and I was telling him something. And me and him sitting there going back and forth, but it was my arrogance, and my arrogance was trying to teach his experience. And he was trying to tell me, Jason, it ain't going to be like that. That's not, I ain't going to tell you what it's about. That's not what it's going, I don't know what you think. But you've never been through it. I said, Daddy, I'm telling you, this is how, and we're going back and forth. We never argued before. But can I tell you what happened to me? Experience kicked my tail. Experience taught me what I didn't know that I thought I knew. And I had to go humble myself. And I said, you know what? You are right. And here's the great thing about God. God lets experience humble us. And he lets us get in tough moments just so we'll see that it's in him that we can only trust and live and move. Anybody ever been through those moments where you thought you knew something and then God let you out there and it humbled you and you came back running and said, God, if it had not been for you who was on my side, I don't know where I would be. Amen. So, Daddy, sorry. I don't know if I ever apologize. You know, sometimes it's just good to get it out. The last thing is this, and I'm through. Tribulation worketh patience, patience worketh experience, and experience worketh hope. You want my last slide? Hope is this. It's confident expectation for what you believe in. You know what I love? I love people who wake up every day and they look you straight in the eye like, I don't know what's going to happen today, but I'm about to make something happen. The person who will drain your energy and the life out of you is the person who wakes up, how you doing? I don't know. Was good. The same thing last week. It just ho-hum. Just everything is just like blah. I love people with hope. I love people to walk in church with hope, show up to work with hope, go home with hope. Are things the best? Absolutely not, but I'm hoping that things turn around because hope has authority because it's based in faith and it's loaded because you've been through something. You've got patience and you've got experience, and when you have authority, you have the ability to shift and make things happen. Can you, last slide and I'm through. Can I show you the process, what it looks like? Tribulation is how you deal with pressure. Process of hope. Patience, you focus on what you know, not how you feel. Experience, it's proven character. I am humble. I can produce results. And the last thing is this. Hope, it's confident expectation. My neck is stretched out. That's literally what it means. And I'm expecting great things. Can I go to the end of the story of how I got my scholarship back? I told the people, I said, I'll get my GPA up. And I said, I'm going to get my scholarship back. Somebody gave me a teaching. There's a difference between teaching and preaching. Preaching is when you proclaim something. They get you excited about what can happen. And it excites your spirit. But it just tells you what? Teaching tells you how. And somebody gave me a teaching tape on faith. And that it was on faith to be restored. And I listened to that teaching. It was boring at first. I just said, like, good God, can you get an organ? Can he get excited? And something in my spirit said, just sit down and listen. So I would sit down and listen to it, and they told me, if God ever gave you something, you can get it back in Jesus' name, if it's your inheritance, if it's what you're believing God for, if it's what God promised. And I said, huh, I had my scholarship. God gave me that. I'm believing that's a part of my inheritance. He said, the righteous will never be forsaken. The seed will never beg bread. My parents are righteous, and I am their seed, and I will never beg bread. And God, I want my scholarship back. So I said, you know what? I'm going to get my grades back together. I got my grades together, and I went to the graduate studies office, because I'm in faith, right? And I went back to them and I said, you know what? Her name was Dr. Deborah Arfkins. I don't know if you're listening right now, but if you are, thank God for you. We online streaming with Facebook right now. And I said, Dr. Arfkins, I would love my scholarship back. She said, Jason, I know you would, and I'm glad to see the progress you made with your grades, but we have no scholarships right now. And I said, all right. I didn't walk out there to plead. You know, some of us, when you hear no, you just, that's the, they don't know. No for me was not right now. I know what God had promised me. I know what God had told me. A couple weeks went by. I believe God. I heard another sermon that said, you have authority to speak those things that be not as though they were. I began to declare, Father, by the time the semester starts, I will have my scholarship back in Jesus' name. It's different than standing in the lines just speaking in tongues and hoping and looking out the corner of my eye hoping because I'm embarrassed. No, this time I had assurance in my spirit that it's going to work out. I went to a church service, and it just so happened, I don't just let anybody pray for me. You know, everybody wants to pray, and they got a word of God from you. But this person pulled me to the side. This older lady said, can I pray for you? And I said, yes, ma'am, you can pray for me. She said, Father, the very thing that you promised, I just want you to assure it in his heart that everything is going to be okay. I about fell out in the bushes on the side of the church. We were, you know, I didn't even shout, but I about went in outside because that woman said the very thing. She had no idea, boy. I about yanked her arm out the socket because I was excited because God assured me. Because, you know, sometimes you get weary on your journey. You know what God promised you, but you said, God, all right, the semester's about to start. I don't want to take out another loan, but God, I know you promised me. Time got the ticking. Can I tell you, I kid you not, 2 days before the semester started, I was working at the Kennedy, Koontz, and Farenhash law firm. I was a runner for them. In the back of the office, I'll never forget the phone that rang, and they sent a phone call back to me, and they said, Jason, you got a call. And I can't even remember how Dr. Arfin got my number, but she said, Jason, I got good news for you. I got excited right there. Yes, sir. Thank God nobody was around. She said, you got your scholarship back. I need you to show up in the office, and we're going to give you $500 a month stipend as a result of you having this. You can't tell me what God won't do when you stand in faith, not foolishness. Because there's a big difference between faith and foolishness. Hope won't make you ashamed. I was standing confident on the fact that God had promised me, and I had been through some things. Anybody been through some things in here? And as a result of going through, my patience had to kick in. Because I started, if you know me, I will worry you to death. I started to call, Barbara knows, I started to call that woman every day. I started to show up at the office every day. Say, is it in here? And something said, don't you go up there and worry that woman. She will not give it to you just so she won't have to see you again. I said, all right, God, I'm going to trust you, and I ain't going to be in this woman's face. Can I tell some of you in here, I want you to trust God and quit worrying. Because it's going to happen whether you worry or not. So why not spend it rejoicing? Why not spend it praising? Why not spend it doing what you're called to do? Why not spend it enjoying your marriage? Why not spend it enjoying? I don't have it yet, but it's on the way. I showed up with some experience from God because God never fails. God's got proven character, and God proved something in my life, and I stood in hope because it's what God said, and now it wasn't what I was wishing. There's a difference between what you wish and what God promises. When you get a hold of the word of God and you get that thing in your spirit, that's my last challenge to you. You will never be afraid. Here's the reason why. There's enough faith in the word God gave you to accomplish what he sends his word out to do. And whenever he speaks his word, you stand on that. Whatever your word, God, I know how I feel, but I'm not going to flip out and let anything ruin my day. Your word says. And when you let the word speak in your life, it will transform your situation instead of your situation transforming you. Stand to your feet. Bow your head and close your eyes. First appeal to you, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you say, I want to be saved. I want to give my heart to God. I want to be justified by faith. And you don't know the Lord as your personal Savior, I just want you to slip your hand up wherever you are all over the building. I'll pray for you. Everybody repeat after me. Father, I thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on the cross for my sins. I admit I've sinned. I've done things not pleasing in your sight. Forgive me of all my sin and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And I confess Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life. You're saved. Here's what I want to pray for every person in here who is going through pressure and stress. And you need hope to kick in so your faith can go to work. You don't want to be disappointed. Some of you say, I've tried this before. And I'm telling you to do what the praise and worship team sing. Ask God to do it again. I know you've been disappointed before. No. But God has performed miracles in your life before. God has moved mountains in your life before. I want you to get your hope and your expectation up. And don't you worry about being ashamed. Because we are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you that God can restore, God can heal, and God wants you to get control of your emotions. If you're in here today, I pray over you right now. Pressure will not get the best of you. Stress will not be what runs your life. You will eat pressure for lunch. You will have hope and a confident expectation that what God said in His Word is going to happen in your life. And you can believe it by faith right now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Can you do me a favor? Just shake somebody's hand and tell them this. Expect great things.